There's this place in Ohio that we used to go eat at a lot that I passed with my brother in the car just the other day, and it's called the Dilly Deli.
The Dilly Dally. I love Welcome to the Dilly Dally. What do you want?
That was like kind of a fancy place. They sold
Really? The Dilly Deli was a
Dilly
fancy
Deli.
place?
They sold Lindor truffles. I
Whoa.
know.
Just like in a wrapper?
Yeah.
Wow. Not like made into anything. They just sold like the singular
Well,
candies.
it was like a place where you could like imagine a corner store, but it sells like more like fancier things.
Like a Wawa.
Like things that you'd find in a TJ Maxx.
Interesting.
And then you can also get food there.
So it's like a Cracker Barrel.
Yes. Mixed with a Trader Joe's.
Interesting. Very interesting.
I'm realizing now how strange that is.
Have you ever been to a Buc-ee's?
No, but I pass a
They're
couple
terrifying.
on my way to Ohio, and I've been too scared
They're so
to.
scary.
Yeah, I've been too scared to go because I've heard there's like 100 lanes and
Oh
I
my
just can't
God.
deal with
There's
that.
like the one I went to, I like barely remember being there. It was on my way back from Florida with my ex, and I don't really remember that trip at all. So I don't remember the drive back, but I remember that we stopped at Buc-ee's because we felt like we had to. It was terrifying. It was so scary. You walk in, there's a whole wall of like different kinds of beef jerky that Buc-ee's makes. There's a
No.
whole what I love beef jerky, but I was like, this is too much. There's a whole wall of like assorted peanuts and like trail mixes and stuff. There's a whole like wall full of fountain drinks and like
Oh
slushies and
my.
stuff and teas and whatever. And then there's still like stuff you can buy, like chips and soda, like sodas and drinks and all that
This
stuff.
sounds like the most American thing ever, and I want the people in all the other countries that listen to us to know that this is peak America.
Which we have a lot of over the seas listeners. Like we have a lot of global listeners, which I find so interesting because
So,
I don't know how we're interesting enough for anybody, let alone people across the country. Like
yeah, across the world.
yeah, that's insane.
So, like, thanks, guys.
Yeah, super cool. We're above 300 listeners.
Yes!
But back to Buc-ee's.
Okay,
So,
taking it back to Bussies.
so you get in, there's like a whole big round countertop thing that the employees are in, and there's like brisket cooking and like all these assorted meats, and then there's a whole other like cafeteria looking section where it's just got like different foods inside the little like silver tub things or whatever, like a cafeteria. I already said that. And then once you pass all the food madness, there's like a store with like home decor and Buc-ee's bathing suits and Buc-ee's everything else that you can think of, and like American home decor and like vintage looking decor, which is like obviously not actually vintage, but it's like a home goods within a convenience store, within like a cafeteria style restaurant, within like it's terrifying. It's
That's
so
too much.
and the gas pumps are so intimidating. We didn't even need to get gas. We just went inside the place because the gas pumps are terrifying. There's so many of them, and the ceilings are so big.
Ugh.
It's a lot, yeah.
Have you seen the way I park specifically? I would absolutely wreck myself trying to get gas there. Also, I love that the employees are like in the middle, in this circle, back to back to back to
Yeah.
back, like against the oncoming wave of.
Yeah. And when
Oh,
I went,
that's
it was
crazy.
busy. Like there was a lot going on in the food area. I didn't even attempt to get food because I wanted to try it. I
Yeah.
love Wawa. Oh, I love Wawa so much. I wish we had Wawa here. But I didn't even want to get in there. I think I like looked at the little menu thing, and I was like, okay. And then I left. Like, I just didn't even attempt it. It's terrifying. I don't recommend it, honestly.
Yeah, I'm not going to go. But I do love that TikTok sound that's like, acting a fool at bussy, you know? Happy Hispanic Heritage Month.
Happy Hispanic Heritage Month. I like was choking when I said that.
To celebrate, Rana made themselves look so Hispanic with this like beautiful red hair. I don't know why, it just pops.
It does, it makes my very pale olive skin tone really pop out.
The other day, I was eating my leftover torta from lunch, and I picked up a little piece of avocado that was, like, still in the box, and I ate it, and it was just, like, perfectly seasoned with lime and salt, and I just felt it deep into my soul.
Nice.
I was like, this is what it means to be Hispanic.
The flavor.
It was so good.
All right, y'all, it's episode 9.
That's my lucky number.
Is it really?
Yeah, because my birthday is 9/9.
Oh, that makes sense. That's cute. Did you see this little bug? My boss made this for me.
Oh, that's so cute. What kind of bug is that?
I don't remember what she said it was. Some sort of beetle. I don't remember.
Have you named him?
No, I haven't. He's fun, though.
He's fun.
Buckle in, guys, because this is going to be a fucking crazy episode right off the bat.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of things to talk about. Let's see. Let me look at my little list. So, thank you guys for over 300 listens. That's so fun.
Muchas I love that. Gracias.
Yeah, thank you so much.
I wish that was my forehead.
Oh, it can be. It can be everyone's forehead. I have an update.
Update?
Update, update, update. On the Delphi murmurs.
Oh, I did get confirmation that it is Delphi.
Oh, okay, Delphi. So sorry. That sounded way more sarcastic than I meant it to be. So, I have an update on the Delphi murders that I covered in episode 4. And if you haven't listened to that, stop right now and go listen to it. So,
yeah, you need the context.
Yeah, you need to know what we're talking about here. This is important, juicy information.
And it's fresh.
It's fresh off the presses. Like, a couple days ago, fresh off the presses, y'all. So, Richard Allen, the murderer. The crybaby criminal. So Richard Allen's attorneys filed a long and like weird motion for a hearing where he claims that Abby and Libby were the victims of a religious sacrifice and that he essentially had nothing to do with the murder. So in a 136-page memorandum, is that how you say it? Memorandum?
Yeah.
In a 136-page memorandum filed on Monday, Allen's lawyers alleged that the search warrant executed on his home for October 13th, 2022 was based on faulty probable cause. So Allen, who's now 51, was charged in October of 2022 with killing the two girls after investigation said evidence at the scene linked him to the deaths. But Allen's defense team said on Monday that detectives overlooked other clues and potential suspects as the investigation focused on Allen. They said, quote, members of a pagan Norse religion called Odinism, hijacked by white nationalists, ritualistically sacrificed Abigail Williams and Liberty German. Nothing, absolutely nothing, links Richard Allen to Odinism or any religious cult. I did also see the release documents that outline, like, the crime scene, and I'm... I'm not going to go into too much detail about that because, again, as I've said before, discussing, like, gory child death details is, like, not really my thing.
Yeah, it was graphic.
It's very graphic. If you really want to find it, it's online. Yeah. Like, you can go find it. I don't really want to repeat what he's done to them or what he's suspected to have done to them. So you can go find all that. But we already know that they were brutally murdered. So, like I said, if you want to find out all the super in-depth details, you can go find that. But I will say that the murder scene was set up very ritualistically. There were sticks in certain places, only a lot of blood on one victim, and the bodies were placed in certain positions, which does in fact sound like it could be linked to something like occult-ish. But keep in mind, he could also just like be insane. And he did, on the phone to his wife, admit to killing the girls. So maybe take all this with a grain of salt until the trial. But in the memo, his attorneys wrote, "Sticks placed at the crime scene to form Germanic letters associated with the religion is one of several clues that indicates that the girls were killed as part of a ritual." Continuing to state, the Delphi... Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
The Delphi investigation seemingly and quickly abandoned the obvious correlation between the crime scene and Odinism, despite an obscene amount of evidence linking Odinism to the crime scene. He also asked that his pretrial, for some reason, be televised. But I can't find out why he wants that. The trial is set to start January 8th in Fort Wayne, where a jury will be selected, and that's all the information that we have for right now. But basically, he's gonna, I guess, try and say he's not guilty.
So, can I ask a dumb question?
Of course.
Were the girls white?
Yeah.
So, if this is a white... My cat tried to jump to the other couch, but she missed.
Yeah.
If this is a white supremacist group, why would they sacrifice two white girls?
Yeah. Maybe they thought that... Oh, no, that wouldn't make sense either.
That just like,
maybe they thought they were impure, but they, why would you sacrifice an impure soul?
It just don't make too much sense to me. Mm-mm. And also, the evidence that linked him to the crime scene, if I do recall correctly, was a bullet from his gun.
Yeah.
Where somebody conveniently happened to be shot.
And the fact that he multiple times on phone calls can be heard saying that he did it. I don't know.
Also, aren't we like done with the satanic panic?
Like, no, I think it's coming back.
Can we stop blaming witches for things?
All right, so I'm ready to just jump right into mine because mine's interesting.
Oh, please do.
So, after that little update for y'all, today, in honor of Hispanic Heritage Month, I'm going to be covering a Hispanic serial killer.
Yes! Gracias, mi amor!
So today I'm going to be covering Juana Barraza.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Richard Ramirez.
No, but that's who I was saying. That's one of the ones I was saying. The one I was going to originally do was Dorothea Puentes. Mm. Have you heard of her?
No.
Okay, so maybe I'll cover her next. But... I found, so I couldn't remember Dorothea Puentes' name.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was like Googling to try and like remember her name, this one came up and this one literally made me go, wait, huh? And so I was like, fuck that. I'm doing this one. But, you know, see, I think that's my problem. I jump the gun. I'm like, whoa, that's super interesting. And then I'm sucked in and commit to the bit, and then I don't find a whole lot of information. But
that's okay, because we'll have lots of episodes to like do the shit that we originally meant to do before we got distracted.
That's true. Before we got distracted, literally. So I want to preface though that even though my first language was Spanish, I don't speak it much anymore, so my accent may sound horrible, and I'm sorry. Blame bullies, because they bullied me into not speaking Spanish anymore.
We're just a couple of no sabo kids doing our best.
Today, like I said, I'm going to cover Juana Barraza, a.k.a. I looked it up earlier how to say this, and now I'm, like, blanking. Mataviejas? Mataviejas, I think. Let me look again.
Mataviejas?
Mataviejas, yeah.
Do you know what that means?
Yeah. Little old lady killer.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
So, Juana Barraza Samperio was her full name, and she was born December 27th, 1957. She was born in Epiaducan, Hidalgo. I looked up that one earlier, and it has a Z in it, but for some reason the lady said a TH.
It's probably like Zapotec or something, not like Spanish. So the word, the letters sound different. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's a rural area north of Mexico City. So Barraza's mother, Justa Samperio, was an alcoholic who reportedly exchanged her for 3 beers.
Whoa, she's not even worth a 6-pack?
Apparently all she needed was 3.
Oof, that's painful.
Yeah, so she pawned her off for 3 beers to some pretty much random man, and unfortunately in his care she was continuously raped and likely abused, and she ended up becoming pregnant with his son. So pretty terrible beginnings. She got pawned off when she was 12.
Oh my god. Yeah.
And her mother already before that was like prostituting her for money for alcohol and stuff, so already just like a really bad start.
Yeah.
She ended up having 4 children in total. In 1999, Barraza was a single mother of 4. The kids ranged from age 21 to 6 from a couple different fathers. The 21-year-old, her oldest son, which was her firstborn son from her father, ended up being mugged and died from those injuries. So her oldest son is no longer living. I didn't find much information on her other children. She worked as a street vendor selling gelatin and socks, but she struggled to provide for her children.
What a combination.
Yeah.
Do you need Jell-O?
What about socks?
But also socks.
She ended up becoming a professional wrestler in the evenings after doing her street vending.
Do you need to watch Nacho Libre?
Yes.
I don't believe in non-Hispanic people playing Hispanic characters for everyone except Jack Black.
True.
He was so good. I give him a pass.
He was very good at it. So yeah, she ended up becoming a professional wrestler under the ring name of Lana Dama del Silencio. Sorry. The Lady of Silence.
Sexy.
Yeah. She was a big fan of Lucha Libre, which, for those of you who may not know, is like a form of wrestling where they wear masks, and it's like very colorful, very fun. So despite achieving a degree of fame and success in the male-dominated sport, her wrestling career was short-lived, and she retired in the early 2000s. Guess she decided she didn't want to do it anymore. But also in the early 2000s, police started to notice a string of weird murders.
Ooh, I love a weird murder.
So the victims were all women in their 60s who were murdered by strangulation or bludgeoned to death and robbed in their homes. So they were all just like elderly women.
Whoa.
So despite a lot of people coming to the police, or like a lot of colleagues and stuff within the force being like, hey, this could be like a serial killer, the police, as we've learned that they do, just kind of like brushed it off. They were like, no, you guys are just over sensationalizing this to try and get a story, like, get out of here. Yeah. However, international authorities came in and told them, like, yeah, you need to start an investigation. This seems like this could be a serial killer. So they were like, okay. And then they opened an investigation. But if it wasn't for that, they probably wouldn't have ever opened one. So that's fun.
I mean, like, what did they think?
I don't know what they thought. A lot of stuff that I saw online were, like, people being like, it was probably, like, they were probably trying to cover their asses for some of those murders. And I'll get to all that in a minute. But Bernardo Partiz, the chief prosecutor in Mexico City, profiled the killer, describing them as brilliant, clever, and careful. Partiz believed the killer likely gained the trust of the victims before killing and robbing them. Investigators in the case came to suspect that the killer may have posed as a government official, perhaps offering to sign them up for, like, senior programs or, like, welfare.
Oh, that's devious.
Yeah, stuff like that to try and get them, like, trusted and into the home. So the case was complicated by evidence that gave conflicting ideas about the nature of the killer. At one point, they believed there could even possibly be two killers involved. There was the odd coincidence that three of the victims owned a print of French artist Jean-Baptiste Gruyère, Boy in Red Waistcoat, which ended up, like, kind of halting the investigation because they were, like, grasping at something that was, like, literally nothing. It was literally just a coincidence. By November 2005, the Mexican authorities were reporting witness statements to the effect that the killer wore women's clothing to gain access to the victim's apartments. And at this time, they assumed it was a man dressing as a woman.
I mean, why wouldn't you?
Yeah. So in one case, a large woman in a red blouse was seen leaving the home of a murdered woman. And 2 months later, police began checking the fingerprints of bodies in the city's morgues in the apparent belief that the Mataviejas might have committed suicide. So they, for some reason, believed that maybe they just, like, killed themselves, so they must be, like, in the morgue. Hmm. Obviously, that wasn't correct. So.
It's an interesting idea.
Yeah, this investigation was pretty interesting to read through. So on January 25th, 2006, Braza followed Ana Maria de los Reyes from the market and asked for some water. Taking a stethoscope, she strangled Reyes. And on that same day, a boarder that lived with Reyes saw Braza leaving. So they were basically caught. Witnesses at previous murder scenes had described a masculine-looking woman, and police had previously looked for a transgender person, although they later admitted that the former wrestler resembled composite images of the suspect.
Interesting.
Braza closely resembled a model of the killer's features, which showed La Mataviejas with short dyed blonde hair and a facial mole, and was carrying a stethoscope, pension forms, and a card identifying her as a social worker when she was detained. So she got caught.
Yeah, she did.
So Mexico City's prosecutor said fingerprint evidence linked Braza to at least 10 murders.
Whoa.
Of as many as 40 murders attributed to the killer. So the wrestler is said to have confessed to murdering Alfaro and 3 other women, but denied involvement in all other killings. So they only admitted to 4 murders. She told reporters she had visited Alfaro's home in search of laundry work, and then that's when she killed her. On March 31st, she was found guilty on 16 charges of murder and aggravated burglary, including 11 separate counts of murder.
Damn.
She was sentenced to 759 years in prison. Since sentences imposed in Mexican courts are generally served concurrently, but the maximum sentence under Mexican law is 60 years, she will most likely serve the full sentence in prison. She blamed, like, her resentment towards her mother for her actions. She basically said that, like, her mom died at some point, and she just started to take her anger out on women that would be around the same age as what her mother was at that point. She believed that, like, killing these innocent women was, like, helping the world, because she assumed that all elderly women were, like, just like her mother.
Wow, talk about mommy issues.
Yeah. So while in prison, Juana Braza has been working as a gym instructor and selling tacos to support her family.
What a woman.
According to news reports, Juana also married and divorced while serving her sentence. Slay. Kind of a casual slay.
Single mom works 2 jobs.
He loves her kids and never stops.
I can't believe that this is so recent.
Yeah, I know. And I've never heard of this.
Me neither.
And I wish there was more information. There is a Netflix documentary.
Oh, yeah?
I don't have Netflix anymore, so I can't watch it. But if you guys have it, watch it.
What's it called?
I'm pretty sure it's just La... What is
Mata
it?
Mata Vieja.
Mata Vieja, yeah.
I'll definitely watch it. We've got a couple Netflix things that like line up with stuff that we've talked about in the show, so we definitely need to watch.
Yeah, I need to get Netflix again. Ever since I did that stupid thing where you have to like confirm that this is the primary TV, I can't. I know.
And they added ads.
Did they really?
Yes, it sucks.
What the fuck?
I'm so mad at them.
What the fuck, Netflix? Y'all are losing now. Yeah. Y'all are losing it. Next thing you know, HBO's gonna start giving you ads.
Ugh, it's too much.
It's too much. It's simply too much.
Simply.
I just want to watch my silly little show.
Mm-hmm.
After my long, hard day. Speaking of having a long, hard day, do you want to take a break and smoke?
Yes, bitch, I do.
Because I'm all amped up after that story now.
Wow.
Yeah. Pretty crazy.
That sounds like a telenovela.
I know. It was crazy. That's crazy.
Literally a TV show.
Yeah. Oh, I've seen telenovelas along the lines of this.
Yeah.
Of some woman, a younger woman trying to kill an older woman, for sure. That's like 99% of the premises of those shows.
Yeah, the female wrestler thing threw me. Yeah. That's new. That's
the fun little tidbit.
That's the twist.
That's the one that pulled me in, because the headline that I read was like, female wrestler known as the old lady killer kills over 60 women or something like that. I was like, whoa, what? I was like, the person I was going to cover was interesting, but this is... You got me. What is this?
Oh, yeah. Way better than Richard Ramirez.
All right. We'll be back. Favorite stoner fast food?
Oh, that's a tough one.
Like, what do you crave the most when you're high?
Maybe Cookout.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. I haven't had Cookout in a minute, actually.
I fucking love a Cookout.
Yeah, Cookout's good. Cookout's good and cheap.
My meal, you gotta get a Cookout box, mm-hmm. or Cookout tray.
Yeah.
Barbecue pork sandwich.
That's pretty good.
Side of quesadilla. Side of hush puppies with a cheer wine to drink. A cheer wine float if you're feeling fancy.
I'm not a fan of cheer wine.
What?
Yeah.
You've got cheer wine hair right now.
I know. I'm not a fan. I will do a Cookout tray. I'll either get like a burger or the pork sandwich or tendies. Mm. And then I always my two sides are hush puppies and cheese curds. Those are my go-to always. Sometimes I'll just get double hush puppies and an extra side.
Going wild on the hush puppies. They're fucking delicious.
They're so good. I'll get extra hush puppies and then just order my own little side of cheese curds.
Have you tried the quesadilla, though?
I have. I'm not a fan.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not a big fan of quesadillas. Like, even at, like, an authentic Mexican place, I'll always go for the tacos over the quesadillas.
Wow.
Yeah.
You think you know someone.
Tacos are always number one. If I go to an authentic Mexican place, I want to try the tacos. Those are always number one.
If I'm at an authentic Mexican place, I want a quesabirria and a tamal.
Yeah, tamal is number two for me.
Yeah.
The last time I had a quesabirria, it was good, but I think it's just all the cheese.
You're not a feel cheese icky. Person.
I love cheese, but yeah, I can't eat too much of it. It really upsets my tummy.
Aww.
And I'll like feel it as I'm eating it. Like start and to upset being my tummy.
So brave about it.
I know, I'm being so fucking brave. Every day. I wake up with a tummy ache every day.
Wow.
And everybody knows about it, but I'm still being brave.
So are we back?
I think we're back. We smoked. We're stoned.
I ate a couple mozzarella sticks.
I think I did all my eating while I was doing my episode. Or while I was doing my story. I don't think I ate anything while we were on break.
No, usually you munch.
I do, but I was munching while I was recording. I couldn't wait.
Okay, so usually Raina picks the titles and does an amazing job. But this time I have my own title.
Ooh, that I made. Fun. That makes my job a little easier. I always have a really hard time coming up with the title.
Oh, well, honestly. Good. I'm glad I didn't step on your toes.
No.
I call this one OG Almond Mom.
OG Almond Mom. Uh-oh.
Yeah. Also, mine is not Hispanic Heritage Month themed. Boo. She sucks. I know. I'm sorry. Didn't even think about it. So this is a white lady. Doing white lady shit.
Damn it.
Yeah. So, Linda Laura Hazard.
Hazard.
That's her married name. Her birth name is Burfield.
Ew.
Was born in 1867 in Minnesota. At 18 years old, she got married and had two kids, but she abandoned them in 1898, 13 years later.
Whoa.
I know. It's kind of fucked up, right?
To leave them at 13?
Right. Like, she got married at 18, so I'm assuming she got pregnant shortly thereafter. So yeah. You know, like, these children have got to be, like, old enough to be like, Mom, what the fuck? Where are you going?
Yeah. You're just leaving us?
Yeah. Isn't that, okay. She went to go practice medicine in Minneapolis. And in 1902, her very first patient died of starvation.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it turns out Linda didn't actually, like, know medicine go to school for medicine.
I mean, back then, they didn't really need to.
No, you're right. She absolutely did not need to. So her thoughts were that food was the root of all bodily ailments.
Fruit?
Food.
Food, okay.
Mm-hmm. The year that her first patient died, might I add, is also the same year she got divorced.
Oop.
But she avoided prosecution. She didn't do any jail time because she didn't have a medical license.
Oh.
So, you know, it's not like a doctor giving you bad advice. It's just like a good buddy giving you bad advice. You don't have to listen to it. Like, hey, man, I'm in no position of authority, but I think that toe needs to get cut off.
I don't know what I'm talking about, but, dude, you're definitely dying.
Yeah. So after that, she married Samuel Hazard. He is a man with a reputation.
Ooh.
He had two previous wives.
Oop.
And he had gone to West Point and ruined his military career because he was misappropriating army funds. He was a drunk. He was a lecher.
So he was buying alcohol with the army funds.
Could have been. There it is. So yeah, Samuel, bad dude. He actually went to prison for 2 years.
Oh.
For bigamy.
Oh.
Because he was still married to one of the wives when he got married to Linda.
Oh my God.
But he got out in 1906, and then they decided to move to Washington State for a fresh start.
Oh boy.
Because they were both, like, kind of hated.
Yeah.
So in Washington State, there was this legal loophole that grandfathered in alternative medicine practitioners. Alternative medicine practitioners. Is that a word?
Practitioners.
Practitioners. Yeah. Thank you. That sounds a lot better. So, due to a legal loophole in Washington, she was grandfathered into a medical license because she was an alternative medicine practitioner. Even though she had no medical degree.
Oh, no.
So, no medical degree, but she has a license to practice medicine. So, she starts writing these books on methods of fasting to cure the body.
Oh.
One of them, her first one was called Fasting for the Cure of Disease, published in 1908. She claimed that food was the root of all disease. And in a quote from her book, appetite is craving. Hunger is desire. Craving is never satisfied, but desire is relieved when want is supplied.
What?
I don't really fucking know what that means.
Yeah.
That was, like, kind of confusing. But, you know, you get the gist.
Yeah.
So in Olalla, Washington, this is our stomping grounds.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like right between Seattle and Tacoma if you go like around the sound.
Mm-hmm.
In Kitsap County, Linda opened a sanitarium called Wilderness Heights.
Mm.
Although the locals called it Starvation Heights.
Oh, God.
There, the residents had periods of fasting to flush out their systems where they were only allowed either tomato juice, asparagus juice, and sometimes orange juice.
Well, I mean, that one's not so bad.
Yeah, but the tomato and asparagus.
Oh, yeah.
Gross. And those periods of fasting could be anywhere from, like, days to weeks to months.
Oh, my God.
They would also have daily enemas.
Ew.
Yeah, and these, like, violent pounding massages.
Ugh.
Yeah, so this is, like, not fun.
Yeah.
And despite that, patients were, like, willingly and eagerly paying her.
Like a cult.
Almost like a cult, yeah. In Washington, her first patient that died was a Norwegian immigrant named Daisy Maud Hagland. She died in 1908 at the age of 38 after fasting for 50 days.
Jesus.
She left behind a son named Ivor, who started a famous seafood chain called Ivor's in the area.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting thing to do.
Right? Your mom died of starvation, so you open a restaurant?
Yep.
I get it. The correlation is there.
This is for you, Mom.
Yeah. So pretty much any time like a patient died, Linda would just claim that it was because they were too, like, infected already with whatever disease they had that her treatments couldn't work on them. Like, they were too far gone.
Oh, my God. She's like, oh, yeah, no, couldn't save that one. He was deep in it, dude. I don't know. It's just really hard to get him out of that, so.
Yeah, she also, after they died, would, like, kind of just help herself to their money.
Oh, my God.
Jewelry. Assets. Yeah.
How did she gain access to all that stuff?
Well, mostly is because by the time these patients were so malnourished, they were, like, delirious.
Yeah.
And she could pretty much get them to do anything.
Jesus.
A steady stream of patients died under her care.
Whoa. So I mean, yeah, they're all starving.
Right. So in 1908, it was Daisy Hagland and Ida Wilcox. In 1909, it was Blanche Tyndall and Viola Heaton. 1910 was Mrs. Maud Whitney. Also, sometimes the years are, like, not exact.
Yeah.
Sometimes I saw different years, like, usually one off for different people. So, you know, give me a break. I tried. Mrs. Maud Whitney in 1910. Earl Edward Erdman. Say that three times fast. In 1911. His death was only 3 weeks after starting the program.
Jeez.
And it prompted the Seattle Daily Times to write an article titled, Woman MD Kills Another Patient.
Oh my God.
Which is, like, so funny to me because it's like, it's not the fact that she doesn't have a medical degree. It's, yeah. It just is like, oh, woman doctor.
They're like, woman, whoa. But not the fact that she's, like, not actually a doctor.
Yeah, right.
They're like, who cares about that, dude? That's a chick.
And then in 1911, there was also Frank Southard, C.A. Harrison and Ivan Flux.
Damn. How did she keep getting up? Why was nobody doing anything after this many people?
I'll get there.
Okay.
So, Flux was an Englishman who came to America to buy a ranch. And Linda took control of his money and his assets.
Oh, no.
Yeah. There were authorities who were suspicious, who attempted to save Lewis Ellsworth Rader, a former legislator, from Linda's care, but he refused to leave, and he died in 1911, weighing less than 100 pounds.
Jesus.
Yeah. And this is like a full-grown man.
Yeah.
I didn't write down how tall they said he was, but I want to say is somewhere around 5'11". The health director of Seattle actually couldn't intervene because technically she was licensed. And these patients were willingly to follow. Yeah. Like, they don't have to seek treatment from her.
Oh, geez.
They're not leaving. They're staying, you know?
Yeah.
But a lot of people said it was because of her, like, very commanding personality. Like, she was very, she seemed like she knew everything, like she was in charge.
Yeah.
And people just kind of listened to her. In 1909, the body of Eugene Stanley Wakelin was found on the Wilderness Heights property. And he was the only one that didn't die of starvation. He actually was found with a bullet through his head.
Oh my God.
And it was a presumed suicide.
That's suspicious.
Yeah, that's strange.
Yeah.
He was the son of a British lord. And when he was there, somehow Linda became the power of attorney over his estate.
Hmm.
And they were suspicious of her then because she, like, called up his lawyer and was like, hey, I need you to wire me all his money so I can pay for his funeral.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. So she just, like, kept doing this until eventually the two patients that got her caught. And their two sisters named Dorothea and Claire Williams, who were in their early 30s.
Hell fucking yeah.
So they were, like, aristocratic women. And they were kind of like hypochondriacs.
Mm.
They're very interested in alternative medicine, and like neither of them had any like illness, but like, you know, they're like, oh, I feel faint today, or you know, like just that type.
I think we should go get it checked out right now. Yeah.
So while they were visiting Victoria, British Columbia, they saw an advertisement in a newspaper for Linda's book. And after reading it, they decided to go to Seattle to visit her. And they did not tell their family because everyone else was like, what kind of woo-woo shit are you into now?
Yeah.
So,
boy who cried wolf.
Right. So Linda didn't bring them into the Heights. She began treating them in an apartment in Seattle.
Weird.
So she would sometimes do that, like sometimes they would be on the grounds, but I don't know if maybe sometimes she just had too many patients at once, or like wealthier people would just stay in a private apartment somewhere close by, and she would go to them. So in 1911, they were under the supervision of Linda's osteopathic nurse while receiving the cure, and Linda was, like, asking them about their affairs, like, their business affairs, while they were, you know, delirious from malnutrition.
Yeah.
And offered to keep their jewelry and real estate deals safe in her office.
Oof.
I think that was in February. And by April, the Williamsons had to be moved to the Heights in an ambulance.
Whoa.
Yeah. Like, they were like, no, we got to get you some medical attention now. And there, Linda was able to get a signature from Claire granting in her will £25 per year to the Institute.
Whoa.
And giving her power of attorney, and that in the case of her death, her body be cremated by the Institute.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck?
On April 30th, their childhood nanny, Margaret Conway, received a concerning, like, mysterious telegram that said that the girls might be in danger.
Ooh.
And she set sail from Australia.
Whoa.
And arrived in Seattle June 1st.
This was their nanny?
Yeah, their childhood nanny.
Go nanny.
Yeah, she was, like, coming to the rescue. When she got there, Samuel Hazard, her husband, brought her to Linda's office where she was told that Claire was dead and Dorothea had gone crazy.
What?
Yeah. When she was shown Claire's body, she didn't even recognize her.
Was it her?
There's some speculation on that. Some people think that they switched her with a different body so that they didn't know how, like, skeletal she actually was. Because she was, like, crazy, crazy, crazy skinny.
Whoa.
Yeah. Dorothea was, like, skeletal skinny and living in this, like, tiny shack of a room.
Whoa.
She begged Margaret to take her out of there. But then the next day, like, changed her mind and was like, no, no, I can't leave.
What?
Yeah.
This is like a cult, dude.
Literally. So while she was there, Margaret would try to feed her, like, something other than broth, like, I think flour and, like just to get any kind of substance in her body. But she wouldn't eat. And there were, like, other patients that were begging Margaret to take them away, too.
Whoa.
Saying, like, please get us out of here. So Margaret sneaks away and calls the girl's uncle who lives in Portland, Oregon. And he comes down and she's like, you've got to get here. Like, this is bad.
Whoa.
So he comes down and tries to take Dorothea out of there. But Linda now has the power of attorney over their estate and legal guardianship over her.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. So she was like, Linda was basically like, yeah, she can't leave. She's got a $2,000 bill here for my medical treatments. And they, like, negotiated. I think the uncle paid, like, less than $1,000, but, like, he gave her money, got Dorothea, and got the hell out of Dodge.
Jeez.
She was 60 pounds when she left.
Oh, my God.
So, obviously, they wanted to prosecute her then.
Yeah.
But Kitsap County just, like, didn't have the resources. Like, it was a pretty poor county. So, they just, like, and this is obviously, like, a big case. So, Dorothea personally offered to fund it.
Sick.
Right? So, Linda was arrested in August of 1911. And despite her insistence that she was being targeted for being a successful woman working with natural cures.
Oh, my God.
She was convicted of manslaughter.
Good.
While awaiting sentencing, she kept practicing medicine. And so, like, two more people died.
Oh, my God.
She ended up she had a sentence for, like, 2 to 12 years in the state penitentiary called Walla Walla. But, like, after 2 years, the governor pardoned her.
What the fuck?
Yeah, so they let her out of prison. Her medical license was revoked.
Good.
And, like, she never got it back. So after she got out, her and Sam moved to New Zealand, where she continued to operate as a dietitian, an osteopath, and a physician. And she wrote another book. Before returning to Alala in 1920.
Before returning.
Yeah, she just came back.
Yeah.
This has only been, like, 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
So she, like, rebuilt the sanitarium as a school of health because she couldn't call it, like, a sanitarium.
Yeah.
And it ended up burning down in 1935.
Good.
Mm-hmm. And she died 3 years later trying to cure herself.
Oh, my God.
By fasting. When she was being sentenced, the judge referred to what she had been doing as financial starvation.
Whoa.
Which, like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy. What the fuck?
Isn't that crazy?
What the hell? I could see some shit like that still happening now.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I could see... I mean, you hear all this stuff about, like, the fucking Dr. Phil ranch camps and stuff. And, like, how it was, like, just super abusive and stuff like that. So, it's like, I could definitely see some shit like that running now. Where they just starve everybody and they're like, this is keto.
Yeah.
You're gonna fast and you're gonna go into ketosis and then you're gonna lose weight like crazy. You're fine. Like...
Well, I mean, I feel like it could totally work today. If yeah. You just, like... All the, like, rich white yoga girls
oh, yeah.
are like, oh, I just, like, don't eat. And, like, that's the cure.
Yeah. And okay. then I'm better for okay. everything.
God. Done.
That's so crazy.
Yeah.
Woof.
Woof.
I mean, that just goes to show you, though, like, I mean, I know not all of them probably went to just lose weight. Like, they thought that the fasting would cure a lot of their ailments. But, like, there were probably some people who went just knowing that, like, you lose crazy weight.
Yeah.
So, like, that just goes to show you how strong eating disorders are over your mental capacity for things. Like somebody saw that and was like, yeah, no, that sounds great. That sounds perfect. I would love for that to happen to me. Like, just go do this thing for a few weeks and I'm skinny.
Well, right. And that it was, like, physically super painful.
Yeah.
Like, the daily enemas and, like,
yeah.
getting beat up. Like, yeah. that sounds awful.
I mean, they do say massages, like, flush you out, but.
Do you have cancer? Great. I'm going to kick the shit out of you.
You have diabetes? Sick. Get over here.
My God. Say hi to my steel-toed boot.
Let me kiss my knuckles. Well, geez Louise, that is the OG Almond Mom.
Yeah, right?
So, obviously, with editing magic, you guys aren't going to know this, but we totally forgot to do this part. So we ended the whole episode and then Sabrina was like, I didn't know if you like didn't want to do a witchy thing today because we did the update, and I was like, oh my god, no, I literally just totally forgot. So
I mean, we gotta do brujeria.
We gotta. All right. So today is our herbal medicine or herbal medicinal witchcrafty part of the three-part thing that we do. So today we're gonna be covering some pretty staple Mexican herbs that we use in our witchcraft most of the time. So do you want to start or do you want me to start?
You can start.
Okay. So I'm going to be talking to you guys about some cinnamon.
Canela.
Canela is actually like my favorite fucking childhood drink. You literally yeah. just boil cinnamon sticks in water and then add some sugar. So fucking good. I don't even like cinnamon that much, but I fucking love canela. It's like my fucking favorite thing ever.
And love some Abuelita's hot chocolate.
Me too. That shit's so good. I found that cinnamon is from it's a fire sign.
Hot.
It's an sense. Aquarius.
Good for it.
I know. It's from the sun. So, well, not like literally from the sun, but that's its ruling planet.
Mm-hmm.
Some of its magical ritual uses, it's like I said, it's a fire element. So add cinnamon to any spell to help it manifest quicker. Cinnamon increases spirituality and breeds abundance, power, and success. So it inspires love and lust. Burn cinnamon incense to ignite romance. It can offer protection. You can hang a cinnamon broom over the main doorway for protective energy. I'm going to do that in my shop.
Love that.
I get a little cinnamon broom over my door.
I have a whole box of cinnamon sticks behind you.
Nice. I know the dollar store has like little cinnamon brooms, so I'm going to get one of those for
cute
the shop. I also found out how to make a tincture with it. So if you guys are interested in that, I love tinctures. I wish I knew how to make more of them, but I know a couple people who make tinctures just like for the community. Like they just want to be able to help people with herbal medicine, which I think is super cool.
That's awesome.
So if you ever need some, let me know. I know some people.
Hell yeah.
I've got some tincture dealers.
got the plug.
So for a tincture ratio, it's for this, it's 1 to 4. So for every one thing, you know, you do 40 to 50% alcohol and 1 to 4 of alcohol. So for every one part of cinnamon, you do 40-50% alcohol. So that's not obviously if you're going to eat it. Don't, if you're going to like take it, if you're going to ingest it, obviously don't add alcohol to it. don't do that.
Please don't do that.
Cinnamon extract is highly aromatic and can be combined in various herbal formulations as a warming component or driver to enhance a formula. Plus, it will add a nice flavor to a bitter or unpleasant tasting formula. So, like I said, if you're going to make a tincture out of it and you're going to ingest it, don't do alcohol. You could do just water. You could do moon water. That would be good, too.
Yeah.
Some moon water. Boil some cinnamon. Or
add some sugar, do Reina's drink.
Yeah, do the little canela drink, and then but just add maybe a little bit more cinnamon so that when you add it to like your teas or your other drinks, it doesn't dilute it so much that it doesn't do anything. So there you go. There's some cool stuff you can do with cinnamon in honor of Hispanic Heritage Month and the fact that we're both brujerías.
We're both some hoes for some cinnamon.
Mm-hmm.
Well, love that. I love that yours was like the like fire wake up one, because I'm doing like the chill calm mm-hmm. down one. I'm doing the indica.
I feel like that's totally us though.
You know, I'm a sativa gal.
I'm a sativa gal also, but I think like personality wise, like yeah. I'm usually at a much higher level than you.
Yeah, I'm chillin'. A chill.
Yeah.
I'm a chiller.
And I'm chill, but in a little more, like, hyper way. Like,
yeah, Raina's always down to, like, party and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, nah.
I'm down to chill, too. But if somebody invites me out and offers to buy me drinks, I'm going. Like.
So I'm going to be doing chamomile, also known as manzanilla. You can get these, by the way, at Mexican tiendas, mm-hmm. and they're usually, like, stupid cheap for spices. That's a life hack. Go get your spices from the tiendas.
Also, produce.
Yes, produce
is usually super cheap, and it's usually really, really good.
And meat?
Yeah.
And a lot of times meat. It's, like, already seasoned.
Mm-hmm. Their meat is always really good. Yeah. Support your fucking local Hispanic groceries, because there's not enough of them anymore. And I'm fucking tired of it.
Hell yeah. So, get your candies.
Yes.
Get your, like, dollar shampoo.
Go get your pan.
Yeah.
Go get your conchas. Like,
usually they've got food, too. So, like, you can order a taco while you get your grocery tamales, shopping.
Get some elotes.
Yeah.
Get some fucking popsicles at the end.
Oh, like, yeah. You need a paleta.
Yeah.
But anyways, manzanilla is a... natural aid for anxiety and mild depression.
Yay.
It's also be used as a sleep aid.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we make a tea out of it. It's also good for your tummy. So when your tummy's upset, it's given to colicky babies.
Mm.
It can be used for, it can be used to treat eye infections if you make an eye wash with it. Interesting.
Very interesting.
Yeah, it's good for all kinds of things.
We just gave you a good little recipe for sleepy time tea.
Yes.
Do a little bit of cinnamon, boil some cinnamon and chamomile and some water, add some sugar. Go to bed.
You can also add some chamomile leaves and flowers to your greenery.
Nice.
That's a good, like, a sleepy time mix, mm-hmm. is, like, your greenery, mugwort, chamomile.
Lavender.
That'd be a good one. Lavender, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
That'll knock your ass right out.
I just got, because I gave my hairstylist my AC pass, because I don't go downtown anymore, really. So I gave it to her, and she traded me a 4-ounce bag of mullein leaf.
Nice.
Yeah, so now I've just got a shit ton of mullein leaf that we're gonna clear out our lungs with.
Yes, we definitely need to do that.
Yeah.
Just like boil it over a pot and like stick our faces over it.
She said you can just smoke it. It's already ground up and sifted, so you can just mix it. It looks just like we do, so it's funny. So you can just mix it in and be able to smoke it, and you'll like start waking up and like coughing shit out.
Hell yeah. Yeah. Let's detox that. Yeah. You know, my boss said that he's been coughing ever since he did, like, sound therapy and, like, gongs.
I could see that because the vibrations clear up your mucus a little bit more.
Yeah.
I've also learned that trapped mucus in your gastrointestinal tract can cause a lot of anxiety.
Whoa.
So if you have mucus stuck up in places, it can cause a lot of issues. Same with your teeth. If your gums and teeth get kind of fucked up, it can really affect your mental health, like, really bad.
Oh, yes. Yeah. It does. So, smoke some mugwort.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, mullein.
Yeah. Smoke some mullein leaf.
Clear that shit out.
Yeah.
We want to be healthy stoners.
Mm-hmm. And winter's coming, so we got to start getting our lungs prepared.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that was episode 9. Thanks so much for being here. We so much appreciate how many of you there are. Sorry this week's episode is late. Things have been crazy.
You know, we've got lives and stuff. Yeah. And it was late so we could give you that update. Obviously.
Duh.
We know what we're about.
We planned this ahead of time, actually. Because we knew that update was coming. So we've got the in. But thank you guys so much for joining us. If you liked us, share us with everyone you know.
Yes, please.
Please. Stella, you're so scary.
She's so scary, little girl.
And be sure to give us a 5-star rating and leave us a review. And
you have to, because it's Hispanic Heritage Month.
Yeah, if you wouldn't do it for our birthdays, at least do it for this.
Yeah, come on.
Like, come on, dude. Are you racist?
You don't want to be racist.
You don't want to be racist, so like.
Oh, also, can I tell you something super cool?
Sure.
So, you know how in Twilight, Jacobs is part of the Quileute tribe?
Mm-hmm.
So that's, like, a real tribe, and they got, like, no money from Twilight, which is fucked up.
Yeah.
And I'm part of this Twilight shitposting group on Facebook, and they had a fundraiser to raise money for the tribe so that they can move their tribal school up because it's in, like, a flood zone right now.
Oh.
And we raised, like, almost $20,000 in one day. Yeah.
That's awesome.
So you can, like, donate to them anytime. Move to higher ground. So mthg.org.
Heard that. Go to mthg.org to donate to them. I don't know where I was going with that.
Please.
Please. And then also, if you... I've been doing really bad with the Instagram because I've been really busy, but I'm going to get better at it. Don't worry. So follow our Instagram.
Okay, we forgive you.
Follow our Instagram at GWC Podcast. And if you have any questions, comments, corrections, concerns, suggestions, anything like that, you can email us at GWC Podcast. Right? No.
Yes.
Is it?
Yes.
GWCpodcast@gmail.com. I forgot for a second.
Greenwich Cottage Pod.
GreenwichCottagePod@gmail.com. Okay.
That was the first one.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So if you have any questions, comments, corrections, concerns, suggestions, anything like that, you can email us at greenwichcottagepod@gmail.com. And that was episode 9, you guys.
Yay!
One more. You get one more until you get a break from us. So please keep going. It'll be a good one. So please just keep going. Keep one more. And then you get to take a break from us for a little bit.
Yeah, a smoke break.
A smoke break.
A tea break? Nah.
No. We wouldn't ask you guys to do that.
Because we wouldn't do that.
No, we're not going to do that.
Hell no.
But yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. Be sure to light up.
And look out.
Bye. Love you.
Good night.